Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the War Room Podcast with your host, Scott Clayton, and my guest at this time, Jay Westcott. How you doing?
Doing good. How about you, man?
I'm doing fantastic. So today we got TakeOver and SummerSlam and I just want to know what your thoughts are. Let's dive into NXT TakeOver right now. We have for a solid match card for you. It's Hideo Itami versus Aleister Black. Let's start with that. What do you think?
Well, Black really has been showing. He's ready for the big time, I think. He really shot out of a cannon in NXT. And he's been really, really good for them. I think Itami being repackaged as a frustrated heel kind of was a pretty smart move. But asking him in a way to try to take down Black clean in the match is going to be kind of tough. I don't think that's really going to happen. I think there's going to be probably a dirty finish. But regardless, I'm going to have to say for that, I'm going to predict Black to win, perhaps.
All right.
And even if he
now,
doesn't win, it doesn't really hurt him because he's so early in his career in NXT.
I just think Hideo Itami was lost in the shuffle completely. I mean, it's just I haven't really seen much of Hideo, and I just – feel why are they having this match? I mean, I thought it would have been Cassius Ohno and Hideo Itami.
Yeah, that would have made a little more sense.
But I was confused. I honestly thought that the website made an error that I saw this card on, and I said, wait a minute. Hideo Itami is facing Aleister Black? Why? What happened here? Seriously,
yeah, I don't know what that was all about. It was
the longest
weird
time, I thought it was an error. I thought it was Cassius Ohno versus Hideo Itami. Something happened with Cassius Ohno?
Yeah, probably. I don't know quite the story behind him. I think he might have gotten injured, probably, or something like that. But I could be wrong on that, too, so don't quote me on that.
Yeah. I mean, that is a huge possibility. Probably when Hideo attacked Cassius Ohno on an episode of NXT, they probably did some kind of an injury angle, maybe.
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Then the next match we have is Sanity versus the Authors of Pain.
Now, I'm going to comment on this real quick. I think, in a way, it would make sense to have AOP continue their reign and just their domination in NXT. But, you know, I think the reason behind that is that there's not really a lot of really strong tag teams right now in NXT. So if they were to move up, it really wouldn't make a lot of sense. Sanity also kind of needs a push because Eric Young has returned and there's a lot of really good opportunities to put him in a title shot and to get Sanity into, I guess, just a little more of a push.
Yeah.
But my prediction for that is I'm going to say probably Sanity wins.
Yeah, I just think 9 months has been a long time for Authors of Pain to hold the belts, and there's really a stale team division, in my opinion, in NXT. I mean,
yeah,
you have
–
but here's the thing with the tag team division. It's technically not NXT's fault. I mean, there is an injured tag team on the injured list, TM61, Shane Miller, or Shane Thorne, I think. Yeah, Shane Thorne is injured.
Right.
So that's really not their fault. heavy machinery, I think they tried to just test that out, but I don't think it worked necessarily for them against the Authors of Pain, so they moved on with Sanity, which I think was a perfect choice. But I do think a title change with Sanity is going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen. This is a pretty opportune time to hop on it. You know, Killian Dane, Alexander Wolf, they're good talent, and the Authors of Pain have been really dominant, see them possibly defending the titles again, but I'm still going to have to try to side with Sanity on that one.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And let's move on to the next match. And I still don't get why exactly they're doing this. Johnny Gargano versus Andrade Cien Almas.
I think the reason behind it is to try to give Gargano an opportunity to show kind of how he can shine as a singles competitor against someone with a new gimmick, because Almas just recently got repackaged. So I guess the purpose is to try to make Almas look strong with his new package, perhaps. And then also to Gargano get established as a singles competitor against somebody like Almas in NXT.
Yeah. It's just there really isn't anything to say about that match, because, I mean, I know Andrade is getting a repackage with some Zelita Vega, which I think is a weird name.
Right.
I mean, Zelita Vega. I was like, hey, that's my last name, everybody. Well, actually, that's my first name, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the War Room Podcast with Vega and Jay West. Yeah. That's just great. I'm sorry, I had to point that out. Okay, yeah, we're moving on with this. Anyway, pretty soon we will have on the air the MEGGS. Wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen, he's in the room now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the MEGGS.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's me. It's the MEGG. Yes, Jordan Megas here to give analysis on professional wrestling with my good friend Scott here.
That's Vega to you. Vega is the name of the man who hosts this podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry about that, Vega. You doing all right today, man?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. We just covered the first three matches of TakeOver, so we'll rewind and get your thoughts on it. The first match we talked about was Aleister Black, Hideo Itami.
All right, well, Aleister Black and Hideo Itami. You got to give it to Black. Aleister Black right now is hands down the biggest thing in NXT. Bigger than any of the championships, because he's the best character right now. Of course, we love Bobby Roode. We love Drew McIntyre. We love the main event scene right now. But Aleister Black is performing at an A-plus level that Bobby Roode is not even on right now. Not to say he's not on that level, but he's not performing on that level as of late. So I got to go with Aleister Black.
Okay, yeah, and the next one we talked about was Sanity versus the Authors of Pain. Well, I mean, we talked about this yesterday in a private setting, and now you can give your thoughts on this for our live audience.
You see, now, this is what I assume to be one of the two wild card matches of the whole pay-per-view. Sanity and Authors of Pain, it's really the one that's the hardest to predict other than Asuka versus Ember Moon, but I'm sure we're going to get to that in just a bit. Authors of Pain and Sanity. I forgot who was representing Sanity in the match. Is it Killian Dane and I know it's not Young, but the other guy,
Alexander Wolf.
Thank you, Alexander Wolf. Killian Dane and Alexander Wolf. I could say they have a shot at winning the championship, but as much as they've been winning the weekly battles with Authors of Pain, the way they snuck on them. Perform these plans and attacks on them. I got to assume that the Authors of Pain are going to win, but my official prediction, I'm going to say Sanity. I'm going to say Sanity walked out with the titles.
And then the next match we talked about was the match I still am so confused about, Johnny Gargano versus Andrade Cien Almas.
All right. Now, in that case, it's easy to be confused because Johnny Gargano, I guarantee you, I will bet anything that Johnny Gargano would have faced Tommaso Ciampa at TakeOver Brooklyn 3 had Ciampa not gotten injured. So they needed a replacement, and they've been bringing up Andrade Cien Almas with his new manager, his new valet. And so now you got to ask yourself, do you think they're still going to push Johnny Gargano right now, or are they going to hold him off till Ciampa comes back and continue with Andrade's push? I'm going to say that Andrade gets the push and gets the win tonight, and Gargano kind of goes on like this losing streak until Ciampa comes around and they reignite their feud.
Fair enough.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. Okay, today we reach a milestone. 500 days for the Empress of Tomorrow, Asuka. As we talk about...
More like the Empress of Today.
Oh, yeah, the Empress of Today. But, I mean, the Empress of Tomorrow is basically her gimmick. And now we have the undefeated Asuka, which she has surpassed Goldberg's streak, versus Ember Moon.
I think in a way it would be smart to continue her dominant reign in NXT. Not really sure how she would be utilized on the main roster yet, but I think that her run in NXT has been something unprecedented. Obviously, she surpassed the likes of Goldberg and other legends in the business, so to see that's really cool. But right now, too, Ember Moon, she's not on fire, I would say, but she's definitely got a little bit of momentum behind her, so it would be possible to see her walk out as champ at TakeOver.
Megas, your thoughts?
All right, now I mentioned earlier that this would be the other wild card match, and I'm still sticking with that because on one side of the coin, Ember Moon, in my opinion, she's impressed me very much since her debut last year at Brooklyn 2 when she faced Billie Kay. She's impressed me over the last year consistently, and do I feel she's ready for the title? Yes. And I want Ember Moon to win because Asuka, she's been on this 501-day reign. She's made history. Good for her. But I think the time has come to bring her up onto the main roster and have her feud with one of our main roster talents. Right now you have Naomi feuding with Natalya on SmackDown, and then you got Alexa Bliss. Really, she's kind of shuffling around for challengers. So you can bring Asuka up to Raw and have her challenge Alexa Bliss for the Raw Women's Championship. But in order to do that, some would say that to win that championship, the Raw Women's title, you got to drop the NXT Women's title. Now, that's how I would go about it. Have her lose to Ember this Saturday at Brooklyn, but go on to the main roster and win the Raw Women's title. She's got to lose before she goes up to the main roster, and she's more than ready.
Not that I don't agree with you, because I totally do, but as far as putting her on the Raw roster, I think it's a pretty stacked. You know, they got a good thing going on, even though it can be a little repetitive. I think they've got enough talent to pull down Raw. I think aside from really, though, on SmackDown, Naomi, Natalya, Carmella, you need to have a little bit of a wild card and somebody who you know is going to always be constant pressure of taking the championship. I mean, Asuka would do that on either show, but I think that SmackDown needs it more. So I'd say put her on SmackDown.
See, and that is actually a very good point to bring up, but my logic on that argument is that, yes, Raw's women's division is kind of more solid overall than SmackDown's is, but two things that kicks me to put Asuka on Raw instead of the Blue brand. On Raw, Like I said, Alexa, she's looking for challengers, and they went with Bayley. She separated her shoulder. They went with Sasha. She's lost the past two, and I feel she might lose Sunday. We'll get to that later. Nia Jax, you know, she's a heel, so I don't know if they would do a heel versus heel match with those two. Who else do you have left? Definitely, you're not going to put Emma in there because she's losing every single opportunity right now. Not Alicia Fox. And you need a solid challenger for Alexa's title, so I would say Asuka. And as for not putting her on SmackDown, yes, that division, it needs some star power, needs someone solid, but with the star power being that low right now, Asuka will steamroll through that entire division, and no one will take that title from her until someone gets called up from NXT.
Okay.
That was about right.
Let me give my thoughts on here. I still think Asuka's going to retain at Brooklyn 3, but let me explain why I don't think it's time for a call-up, because usually, you know, that once somebody gets defeated, a champion gets defeated in NXT, they're going to the main roster. And that is usually the theory, but do you really think Ember Moon can lead the NXT women's division that is so thin? That's my question. Do you boys care to answer?
I'll go let him answer first. I got to think about that for just a second.
Could you repeat the question one more time?
The question was, if they were to pull the trigger, say Asuka gets called up after SummerSlam, and Ember Moon supposedly wins the title, which usually that title change would only happen if Asuka was going to get called up. Do you think Ember Moon can lead a thin women's division in NXT? I mean, it's very thin and scarce.
I think with the type of talent on NXT, she would be a good champion, especially with her experience in NXT right now. It's kind of getting to that timing where if Asuka were to go to main roster, it would be a smart move. And having someone like Ember Moon, just her character, her skills, and her development that's taking place, I think it would be smart. I don't know how long her title reign would be. My best guess would be about 6 months or less. But you'd still have a chance to try to get different, you know, women superstars on the roster like Aaliyah, Billy Kay, different people like that, a little more established against somebody who's a worthy champion. And as we've seen before, Asuka just tends to squash literally all of them. So I think having Ember carry the torch, if you will, to try to raise up the other women around her would be a smart move.
Megas?
Now, I agree with that, but for a different reason. Now, I do believe it would be a smart decision to put the title onto Ember Moon and to call up Asuka to Raw. Ember Moon, yes, I feel she's ready to lead that NXT women's division should Asuka leave. And as far as it being scarce, you got to think about a couple things. It's not too scarce because the few women that they have right now, some of them are some kind of decent names that are either have been in NXT for a bit and they're somewhat established, or they came off the indie scene and they're still popular because you got Peyton Royce and Billie Kay from NXT. They've been around a while. You got Ruby Riott, who came in earlier this year, and I feel she's still got some momentum on her side. And the other big factor is that they are wrapping up the Mae Young Classic, and I guarantee you about 10 or 11 of those women are going to get signed, and some of them will end up in NXT. Especially, I believe the one name I remember hearing is Kairi Sane, debuting in NXT earlier. Spoiler alert if anyone has not read any of the news. But I do assume that a bunch of these women, they're going to be making their way to NXT, Kairi Sane being one of them. And if you consider it scarce now, the NXT women's division, it's not going to be for long because all those women are going to be entering the division. And it's going to be overall a lot better because not only are you bringing women in, you're bringing experienced women in, women that have tenure on the independent scene and all over the world.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, but I just think that they should just wait until after the Mae Young Classic and then maybe have Asuka lose in like Survivor Series to take over Houston.
Well, regardless, though, with all these women from the Classic, having some of them come on to NXT is going to make a very big difference. It's going to be really great. Because some of them really could put on really close, tight, hard-fought matches with Asuka, Ember Moon, different women like that. But you definitely need to have, I think, eventually, if not this month, Ember Moon take the title. Because it's just kind of getting to that time. I mean, 501 days, as Vega was saying, that's kind of like the prime mark. You don't really need to exceed that.
Okay. Now we can move on to the main event of the show, Bobby Roode versus Drew McIntyre. What are we thinking here? I mean, I'll just give my prediction right now. The glorious reign of Bobby Roode ends, and Drew McIntyre takes the title.
I think with Roderick Strong, too, and his kind of nose sticking in the title picture, it's going to be interesting to see. Because he said he didn't want, in his exact words, he didn't really want the title. He wanted Bobby Roode. So my best prediction is going to be that McIntyre takes the title off of Roode, come takeover, and then Roderick Strong and Roode may have some kind of feud after that. But not that Roode isn't talented or anything like that, but he's probably going to get called up soon too.
Megan?
All right, now, this one, it wasn't easy to call, but at the same time, it isn't too hard. What I'm going to predict, I haven't read the spoilers for NXT results or anything, but I will say tonight's episode of NXT will provide the result for TakeOver Brooklyn 3. Because tonight you have Roderick Strong taking on Drew McIntyre. If Roderick Strong wins, then he faces Bobby Roode next week for the NXT Championship. If Drew McIntyre wins that match, then Roderick Strong not only loses the title shot, he loses his match against Bobby Roode. So my prediction will be Roderick Strong wins tonight on NXT and then costs Drew McIntyre the title at TakeOver so that he can get his hands on Bobby Roode. And with the rumor going around that there may be a ROH faction being formed within NXT, this could be a prime opportunity. You could debut that faction at Brooklyn and have the faction as a whole, not just Roderick Strong, cost Drew McIntyre the title.
Who do you think is going to be part of the faction?
I would say Roderick Strong, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and possibly Adam Cole, because I heard he recently got signed, but I think it'll be too soon because Adam Cole is going to be reporting to the Performance Center for the first time in about a month or two.
Actually, according to Dave Meltzer, it was this week he reports.
Oh, wow.
Or he may
okay,
have already
so...
reported.
All right, so that only adds to the possibility that Adam Cole debuts Saturday at TakeOver, but I don't think it's time for that yet. I think Adam Cole will eventually join that ROH group when he debuts, but I don't think he will debut with the group this Saturday. I'll say it'll be Strong, Fish, and O'Reilly.
Okay, well, I will say that ROH is losing a lot of talent. There was another two signings. One hasn't confirmed, but one is confirmed.
So far, Leo Rush has signed, and then there's a rumor that Donovan Dijak has signed, which I think the ROH faction would be perfect for Roderick Strong so he can get over. So my prediction, it'll probably be Roderick Strong, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, Leo Rush, Donovan Dijak, and Adam Cole.
That's actually not a bad assumption. I will agree with that. I will also say that this is a prime opportunity for NXT's tag team division, because with that addition, think about it. You have the Authors of Pain right now, the current tag champs. You have Sanity. You got the Street Profits debuting. You got a couple other teams mixed in there. But now with this ROH faction, you're going to have a tag team with a pair of those. Why not reunite Red Dragon? Red Dragon in NXT, add them to the tag team division so they can win the tag titles for that ROH brand, and you got yourself a solid tag team division.
You also can't forget TM61.
Of course, and I believe the one that got injured, he should be coming back here pretty soon, so that's only adding fuel to the fire.
All right. Final thoughts before we move on to the next order of business with the SummerSlam pay-per-view? Shall we move on?
Yep, I think you're good.
Let's go ahead.
All right, let's start off with the kickoff match. Ladies and gentlemen, the first kickoff match, The New Day versus The Usos.
And this is for the tag titles, right?
Yes, this is for the SmackDown tag title.
Mistake. Big mistake. Not the match itself, but putting it on the kickoff show. You do not have a title match on the pre-show. I hate it when every time they do this, whether it's the tag titles, whether it's the Cruiserweight title. I went to WrestleMania 32, and I hated the fact that Kalisto versus Ryback for the U.S. title was on the pre-show. Nobody saw it. You're missing a title match, and title matches are some of your big marquees for the event. Having it on the pre-show is a big mistake, but as far as the match goes, I will say New Day retains.
I agree. Westcott?
It's the most likely option, but as well as that is a possibility, the Usos did defeat the New Day on SmackDown. Knowing booking, though, I'm going to have to go with the New Day retaining the titles.
Okay. All right. Yep. All right. So we got a solid thing of New Day retaining the titles. And the next match on the kickoff show, which I'm still wondering why they keep doing this, Akira Tozawa versus Neville for the Cruiserweight Championship. What a shocker we had on Raw. Did not see that coming at all.
Now, he was only really a matter of time. Tozawa had a slew of title opportunities, and Neville's reign was, I'd say, definitely a lengthy, well-run reign. So to have him drop the title really doesn't hurt at all. I think it's a great move because then you're giving somebody like Tozawa a really great opportunity to show what he can do as a champion.
And that's a very good point. I will say it's a smart move as well. I will say that Akira Tozawa deserves it. He's been hot. He's been popular lately. And one of the reasons for that, in my personal opinion, I don't know about YouTube, but I'm a fan of the Titus Worldwide brand. I want Titus O'Neil to succeed. I want Apollo Crews to succeed. I want Akira Tozawa to succeed, who, by the way, is one of the first confirmed superstars for the WWE 2K18 roster available October 17th. But having the title match on the pre-show, again, a mistake, but I'll go ahead and let that little baby rest because I don't want to be talking about that the entire show. Having him win on Raw, I would say it's a dumb move since you're doing the match tonight, but I will say it was smart because it's a shocker and it sets up the rematch. So I will go ahead and say Akira Tozawa retains the title. Neville had a great run, but it's time for someone else to hold on to that championship, and Akira Tozawa is the one.
Actually, real quick, correction, Megas, it's the 13th for us because we got the $90 edition, baby, 4 days early.
That is true. Not only do we get the deluxe edition, we get it 4 days early, we get Kurt Angle as the pre-order bonus, and we get two throwback versions of John Cena as well as Rob Van Dam and Batista.
No, wait, that's the $150 edition. You got the Cena Enough edition? Because I've had enough of John Cena. I'm not getting that $150.
Oh, no, I still have the deluxe edition. They actually confirmed 2 weeks ago that those superstars, the John Cenas and Van Damme and Batista, are included in the deluxe edition.
Okay, well, then that's worth $90.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And the idea that the John Cena edition is $150 is sickening. I mean, I know he's John Cena, but he's not that expensive, okay? He's not that valuable. The NXT edition had just about the same exact stuff, just different people on their special edition, and it only went for $100, not $150. It's too much to pay for one game. But I think we're getting off. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, absolutely. I think with the development the game's been taking too recently, $60 a year is a little expensive because when you really take a second and look at what has been developed and changed and modified, the things that have been upgraded, things like graphics and lighting and new systems and things like that, that's great, but you have to sit and ask yourself, with new people and with new graphics a little bit and a little bit of this and a little bit of that, is it really worth the whole $60? And I have to say no. I don't personally think that it fits the pricing. And obviously they need money to keep development going and everything, but it's just not necessary, in my opinion.
And that's a fair point. Having them sell the game at $60 isn't surprising because every new PlayStation game is $60 nowadays. But in my opinion, it's worth it for the new features they're adding, like, you know, the 8-man now included in the ring, the free roaming and career mode, the new additions they're going to add to the create mode, especially create an arena. That's probably my favorite mode of the entire game. And the largest roster ever, because not only are they adding like 5-10 new superstars, they're adding 60 to 70 new superstars. They're practically doubling the largest roster ever in WWE 2K18. And with Akira Tozawa's confirmation, then that confirms just about the entire cruiserweight division. So that gives you some really neat ideas to pull off in your universe mode. So I will say it's worth 60. If you're really wanting to play it that badly, it's worth 90, but it's not worth 150 for the Cena Enough edition.
All right. Let's get to SummerSlam. I don't know how we got on this tirade. I apologize. Let's give the fans what they want. Okay, moving on. Cesaro and Sheamus versus Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose for the Raw Tag Team title.
I think the Swiss Superman and the Human Jar of Mayonnaise are going to drop the titles. I really could see it coming. It makes sense to put Ambrose and Rollins over, especially after which I called. I said, week four of Raw, the Raw before SummerSlam, they're going to reunite Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins. And they did. So my pick for that match is going to be Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. It makes sense to put them over. Cesaro and Sheamus, they're a great tag team. They're the bar. They're great heels, but having Ambrose and Rollins go over is great. Heck, even if Cesaro and Sheamus were able to pull off, you know, the win, that would really solidify them as a strong heel tag team on the main roster. So whatever happens, I can roll with it.
All right, now, My prediction, I'm going to say Cesaro and Sheamus retain the championships, but here's why. 2 years ago, when Seth Rollins turned his back on the Shield, there was a rivalry that spewed from that from between Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, where Rollins was the heel and Ambrose was the face. That was probably one of the best rivalries of the year, but the roles should have been reversed. And I think that's going to happen this Sunday at SummerSlam. Cesaro and Sheamus will find a way to win, and after the fact, Dean Ambrose is going to turn his back on Seth Rollins, and we'll get the feud that we should have gotten 2 years ago with a heel Ambrose and a face Rollins.
I could definitely see that coming. That's a really good point.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you got to think.
Yeah, I did. I didn't even think of it that way, Megas. You got a huge point. I actually could see it, but I'm going to play on the safe side, and I'm going to think that Ambrose and Rollins are going to have a longer tag team run as a tag team, and I think that Ambrose and Rollins are winning it on this one. Now, let's move on to the next match. Alexa Bliss versus Sasha Banks for the Raw title. I got Alexa Bliss hands down. I don't think it's time to drop her ring yet. I still got Alexa Bliss. Thoughts?
Yeah, likewise. I think Bliss should hold on to the title. Sasha is a good competitor, and she's a good talent on the roster. She's very good at what she does, but Alexa Bliss is too. So I'm not going to say it would make sense to have Sasha be champion when, you know, she's already a four-time champion. Each of those reigns was about a month or less. So giving Bliss a decently long title reign, especially her being the first woman to hold both the SmackDown and Raw, you know, main women's titles, I think she should get a lengthy reign that really solidifies that position.
Megas? Any thoughts? Bueller? What are you thinking here? Come on.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, there we go. I don't know why it wasn't working. So I'll say Alexa Bliss for two reasons. One, Sasha Banks is a substitute. It was going to be Alexa Bliss versus Bayley, and substitutes never win. Okay, I understand, you know, option B for Banks, but I will not say that it works out in Sasha's favor for my second reason. Because every time Sasha Banks has won the women's championship, yes, she's a three-time women's champion. Yes, her reigns have been a month or less, but the big kicker, every time she won the title, it was on Raw. She has not won a single women's championship match at a pay-per-view. So I think that streak will continue. I'll say Alexa retains.
Okay, moving on. Finn Balor versus Gangrel Light. Oh, I'm sorry. The Demon Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt, who I called Gangrel Light because of the frickin' bloodbath that happened on Raw. What in the world was that about?
I don't even know, dude. That was one of the weirdest segments I think I've ever seen, including Finn Balor, but by Bray Wyatt. That just didn't make any sense to me.
Me neither. I'd say, you know, the Bray Wyatt situation with the I know he has mystical powers. He does all this enchanting stuff, but that seems a little off-brand for Bray Wyatt. That doesn't seem like something Bray Wyatt would do, so it didn't make sense. But since we're getting the Demon King at SummerSlam now, it's a no-brainer. Finn Balor's going to win.
Okay. Yeah,
Bray Wyatt's pay-per-view.
Finn Balor. Westcott, what are you thinking?
Just going to say, thinking about Bray Wyatt's overall pay-per-view streak, it would definitely make a lot more sense to to have Balor go over, logically speaking.
Okay, moving on. The Battle of the Giants. Big Cass versus the Big Show with the third, and I say this again, third Shark Cage match that we've had in the past year. Freaking Enzo Amore in a Shark Cage now. I'm going to say Big Cass goes over, and Enzo Amore turns heel and turns on the Big Show and drops a weapon for Big Cass.
I'm going to have to say Big Cass is going to go over in that match. Really, I mean, the Big Show is okay, but just with how the story's playing out, it would make sense turning with Cass turning heel and everything and trying to push him to put him over on the Big Show.
I will also say Big Cass because Big Cass, okay, they've been pushing him the last couple months after turning on Enzo, so it's obvious they see money in the guy. And Big Show, I mean, he's kind of in the role now that Chris Jericho was in 2013. He's there to put the new guys over. He's there to make them look good. As far as Enzo turning heel, I don't think that's going to happen. Because since they see money in Big Cass, and with all the heat that Enzo's getting backstage behind the scenes with his attitude and everything, there is no way Enzo is going to get a push, and I don't think he's going to get realigned with Cass at Cass's expense, because Cass, he has the opportunity to go for a title soon, whether it's the Intercontinental title or the Universal title. But I will say that Cass has that potential, and Enzo being reunited with him is a mistake.
Well, now let me explain why I say that, because now, according to Cage Side Seat, there was a possibility of WWE thinking about turning Enzo heel and reuniting Enzo and Cass because of the scarce tag team division. That's why I said that.
Well, they should have thought about that beforehand.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It would be stupid to do it then. Okay, next match. Randy Orton versus Shaved Head Rusev.
Oh, man. I hate making this prediction. I'm going to say Randy Orton because I love Rusev. I love Rusev. Rusev is a great talent. He's worth being a champion. He's worth money. And you can think from one side of the coin. Okay, yeah, Rusev, he's in a feud with John Cena when he came back, and now he's in a feud with Randy Orton. Good for him. But I think of it as the other side of the coin. Rusev came back, and he came in a feud with John Cena. Strike one. Rusev got in a match with John Cena at Battleground. Strike two. That match was a freaking flag match, which, you know, America is never going to lose if it involves putting a flag on a stand. The one time I remember the USA losing a flag match on WWE television was in 1997 when Brian Pillman returned and cost The Undertaker, Dude Love, and Stone Cold the match against the Hart Foundation. And now Rusev is facing on Randy Orton, who is on a 4-5 pay-per-view losing streak. So Randy Orton's due for a win, and it's going to come at the expense of Rusev, to my dismay. I'll say Randy Orton.
I agree. Randy Orton.
As much, I would love to see Rusev win, but you got to say Randy Orton's going over. It's just too easy to see. Unless they throw a wild card and they continue the losing streak for whatever reason, it's going to be Randy Orton.
Definitely. And with Randy Orton going over, you know, it's just something for Randy to do. Keep Rusev and the Chad Gable storyline going on. They've had two matches in the last 2 or 3 weeks, and both of them have been pretty decent. Decent or really good. And I think they can continue that in a rivalry story-based matchup.
I think
You can I'll
just make
that.
A quick comment. Having Rusev take an RKO two consecutive weeks, it makes you think about having Randy Orton being the obvious winner, but there's always that off chance that Rusev sneaks out a win over Orton, whether it be a dirty finish or whether it be just a clean win. It's possible.
I agree with that. That could be a possibility, but I am going to stick with my guns. I'll say Randy Orton at my dismay.
Okay, moving on. AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens with Shane McMahon as the special referee. Now, we all know that in some way, somehow, it's going to be a controversial finish. Hopefully, the game of hot potato is over, and they keep it on one person. I got AJ Styles.
Now, I think it's been really cool with CVC.
Wait, what?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You're good.
No, you guys can
I was
going to
say,
I opened
it's
it up.
Been really cool to see people like AJ Styles and Kevin Owens feuding because having them switch the titles doesn't really hurt their credibility, even though it's been in quick succession, because it's AJ Styles and Kevin Owens. Those two are two of the top superstars on the roster. And really, because they came later into WWE, it's a good method of padding their resume, padding their statistics over their careers. So regardless of who wins the match, I know it's going to be a great match. They're both incredible performers, whether it be a crap finish, which it will 99% of the way be, it's going to be awesome. On top of that, having Shane McMahon and the whole drama going on with, Kevin Owens just super kicked Shane McMahon. There might be a little bit of a controversial finish in that regard. Or if Shane was not able to put aside his feelings about WrestleMania facing AJ Styles, putting water under the bridge, there may be a finish in which Kevin Owens goes over. But we'll just have to wait and see.
I will agree in terms of the hot potato game is not hurting either of these two. No, normally a hot potato with the title is not a good idea, but in this case it's AJ freaking Styles and Kevin freaking Owens. You can't say it's a horrible, you can say it's not good, but you can't say it's horrible because of who's involved. As far as the match itself goes, there will be controversy. I mean, it's a special referee. When is there not controversy? But I will say no matter who wins, this rivalry has to end. These two are great competitors, but this rivalry has run its course, and it's time for them to move on. I would pitch a Kevin Owens-Randy Orton rivalry, because Randy's not doing nothing. Kevin's not going to be doing nothing after this feud. Put them together. It's something we've never seen before. As far as the match itself, I will say AJ Styles retains the United States title and perhaps goes on to feud with Rusev.
Sounds like a pretty good observation.
Who did you have, Megas?
I have AJ Styles.
All right, I have AJ. Westcott? Who are you going with?
Kevin Owens.
Oh, wow. Two against one. Okay, that's interesting. The next match, and I think Westcott is going to pop after I introduce this match because he's going to hear something that's hardly ever come out of my mouth. In the past couple months, Naomi versus Natalya for the SmackDown Women's Championship. I'm sorry, but guess what? I'm feeling the glow for this one because Naomi is going to retain the SmackDown Women's Championship. However,
Scott.
Yes?
As much you know, I have been happy, I have been thrilled with the title reign that Naomi has had the chance to bear. I'm going to have to disagree with you on this one day in 2017, Natalia's going over, and Carmella's cashing in money in the bank at SummerSlam. It's going to happen. Natalia's going to win the title, Carmella's cashing in.
You did not let me finish my prediction. I said, however, after I said I was feeling the glow. You just spoiled the second part. I was going to say I am feeling the glow on this one. However, Carmella's going over and cashing in. Does not make sense for a heel to cash on a heel.
Fair enough.
Megas?
All right. Now, seeing a heel cash in on a heel is unheard of. It's true. But that could open the door for a face turn for Natalya. And if you guys want Asuka on SmackDown so badly, do that. Have Natalya win, Carmella cashes in, and Natalya can turn face. That way, they need another strong heel. Insert heel Asuka to steamroll them. You got good heels. You got good faces now. Okay? Now, as far as the match itself goes, I will say that Naomi wins, Carmella cashes in, and as much as I don't want to say it, I will say she loses. After the travesty that happened this past Tuesday, Carmella should win the title, have one successful cash-in, but I will say she loses. I'll say Naomi retains twice in one evening.
Okay.
I think another possibility, and it's the obvious possibility, talking about, you know, face and heels, would be to have Naomi somehow defeat Natalya. Of course, if Natalya did not win and then have the face turn, we would end up seeing Naomi probably get cashed in by Carmella. But I think in any case scenario, having Carmella, the fact she won the contract twice, once dirty and then once clean in a way, I think she's going to definitely win if she does cash in.
And I hope, honestly, I hope it does. And I'm sorry, it may be an unpopular opinion, but I'm not the biggest fan of Naomi. Don't get me wrong. I love her entrance. I love the Feel the Glow stuff. But as a character, as Naomi, I just – there's just something missing for me. I mean, I like her. I like her in-ring style. I like her entrance. I love her whole shtick. But I feel like there's an element missing. I just can't fully on 100% get behind it.
Okay, let's move on because we're running close to time. John Cena versus Baron Corbin. Oh, this feud has just gotten hotter because John Cena has made sure that Baron Corbin did not have a successful cash-in. However, Baron Corbin's going to get the payoff, and I'm going to say Baron Corbin wins. Now let's open for thoughts.
I'm going to say Baron Corbin defeats John Cena at SummerSlam as well. I'm not going to get into it too much because it's a whole big theory, and I'm not sure if it's 100% true. But there was a theory that after 2010 SummerSlam where John Cena and his team defeated the Nexus, he's using his next several SummerSlams as a way to kind of, I guess, pay back for burying the Nexus in 2010. So he's been losing consecutively at SummerSlams for the past several years and been apparently once for every, you know, member that he beat in the Nexus or that was beaten in the Nexus. But I'm going to have to say Baron Corbin wins. Even though he did lose his contract, there is the possibility he can still be WWE champion. I could see Shane McMahon maybe pulling something, knowing he got screwed, where he may have a title match of some sort if he can defeat maybe someone else. But I'm going to have to say Baron Corbin.
It's a tragedy, okay? Now, since he debuted at NXT TakeOver Fatal 4-Way, or should I say re-debuted, I've been behind Baron Corbin fully. There's just something about him that I just get behind. And the fact that he lost his contract, his Money in the Bank contract this past Tuesday, in my opinion, it is appalling because of his politicking with John Cena. Because I've heard the backstage rumor that he didn't get his push, he didn't win his win the championship, win his cash-in, because he couldn't hang in a promo with John Cena, quote-unquote. But I say he can. I say Baron Corbin has been very impressive over the last year since the brand split. And I will say you're half right about the John Cena situation. Yes, he's been losing the SummerSlam. He actually, since 2010, since he beat the Nexus, he has lost every single SummerSlam match. And I will say his streak continues, hopefully. I will say Baron Corbin beats John Cena and finds his way back into the main event scene. But it was a crime what happened Tuesday, and they need to justify it this Sunday.
Okay, moving on. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jinder Mahal, and it is time to end the reign of the modern-day Maharaja and put over the artist known as Shinsuke Nakamura.
I have a gut feeling that he may somehow lose. I don't know why, but it's easy to say he would go over in this match and become the champion too. So whatever you guys think is important.
I will take Nakamura. You got a big star in Jinder Mahal. Not the biggest, but you got a big star in Jinder Mahal now. Okay, and his title reign, I feel, has ran its course, even though he's only faced Randy Orton. But there's a rumor going around with the Superstar Shakeup going on soon, possibly after SummerSlam. You could send him to the Raw roster, see how he does on the main show, see if he sinks or swims, and bring someone big to SmackDown. However, you got to bring someone big to SmackDown. You got to really shake it up if you're going to call it a shakeup. In my opinion, you can move Finn Balor to SmackDown. You can move one of the other big stars, maybe Braun Strowman to SmackDown, Samoa Joe to SmackDown. One of them, because they're all good, okay? And you need to move one of them because I feel Raw has too many stars as compared to SmackDown. But as far as the match goes tonight or Sunday, I will say Shinsuke wins the title.
All right, because we're short on time, we're going straight to the main event. Thoughts closed. Okay, the Universal title Fatal 4-Way, Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns, my bad, and Samoa Joe. I will go with a wild card prediction, and I'm going to say that Braun Strowman wins the Universal title.
That's my pick as well. I want to see Braun Strowman win that title. His mic skills, his in-ring performance for his size, his agility, everything about him screams champion, in my opinion. So I think that Braun Strowman should win. However, Reigns is going to be the obvious pick, in a way, for a lot of people. So we're just going to have to see what happens.
All right, now, Braun Strowman, I would say, is my pick, too. I would love to see Braun Strowman champion, but there's one person that I want to see be champion more, and he's going to be my official pick. I'm going to take Samoa Joe. I'm going to say Samoa Joe finally wins the big title in WWE.
Rebuttal? Anybody? I mean, that's a solid pick. I mean, I will say that Samoa Joe is my second pick. I just don't want to see Roman Reigns get put over unless you're going to align him with Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. Because if Roman Reigns were to get put over, the best way to do it to get the crowd to like him again is to put the Shield together.
I agree as well.
You know, honestly, I feel at this point not even the Shield can save Roman Reigns. He is a failed experiment, and it's time to stop thinking of him as the face.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the War Room Podcast with Pega, the FEGGS, and Jay Westcott. We will be back this weekend with an aftermath of TakeOver and an aftermath of SummerSlam. And also, we will be talking about the theory Megas brought up of the Superstar Shakeup and possible moves if this Superstar Shakeup happens on what we would like to see within. What do you think, boys? You good for this weekend to talk about this stuff?
I think it's going to be a pretty good conversation.
It's definitely going to be interesting. It's going to be a hot topic. Save some for next week. I think today we're good.
Alrighty, yeah, that was the first ever hour-long edition. Saturday, we crank it up with another hour-long edition. And for the first time ever on Sunday, we have 2 straight hours. Thanks for joining.